Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
I can't remain part of the mainstream Democratic Party when I listen to the cheering of death.
They're not allowed to say boy and girl, male and female. That's what's coming down the pike at us. You're simply kidding yourself if you think that that's a harmless set of pedagogical norms.
We are propagating secularism from our pulpits, and that's why secularism is on the rise.
What you need is not a ladder. What you need is a savior. What you need is not works. What you need is grace. You need forgiveness.
Everybody homeschoolers, follow me, she's a senator.
Well, I'm sure that sports reporters become a little deaf to the perfunctory mentions of God or my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when talking with athletes. And of course, right now is it's the heyday of sports reporting, the Summer Olympics down in Rio de Janeiro. They have access to world-class athletes. Some of them have stories to tell that include, well, personal faith statements. Some of them are deeply ingrained in their faith. How are the journalists down there in Rio de Janeiro, or those covering the Summer Olympics, how are they doing on those angles of reporting on the religion stories coming out of the Summer Olympics? Terry Mattingly is going to join us in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. to answer that question. He's written recently about some stories that either get it or don't get it. But first, we're going to be doing a little response of our own to our listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 10th of August. The Issues Etc. comment line is always there for your questions and your comments. It's open 24/7. It sounds fancy, but it's just a answering machine. The number is 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. And our listener email is always open to you as well. It's talkback@issuesetc.org. Occasionally, we like to respond to as much of that email as we can. We're going to do that for the next half hour of Issues Etc. What's up first?
Todd, I didn't know if you know this or not, but we're in the midst of a presidential election.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't know if you knew that. Just wanted to remind you.
Okay.
All right. And there's an email coming from Kyle. Thumbs down email. Arrow down email.
Well, we always start with the thumbs down email.
Yes. The arrow down email. Because remember, I'm not capable of drawing a thumb. An arrow I can do. I can do stick men. But no thumbs. Or any other finger parts, for that matter. Kyle writes, "You may want to consider looking for different political commentary guests to round things out. First, the Hemingways, that's Mark and Molly Hemingway, appear to be completely uncritical of the opinion polls, despite the astonishing evidence of manipulation that has been coming out. They also seem oddly insulated from the news about the Kahn family. I'm just now listening to their update dated August 3rd, and they didn't once mention Kahn's background, which was all over the internet by Monday at the latest. There is also a lot of talk about press coverage. The DNC email dumps made it clear to anyone who hadn't already figured it out that the press is on Team Hillary, and they are going full attack on anyone running against her, regardless of who that person is and regardless of what they do or say. Trump could die tomorrow, and we'd still have 3 months of wall-to-wall negative press about his corpse. 2016 is not 2008 or 2000 or 1992. What mattered then doesn't matter now, and what worked then doesn't work now. Experts that became experts in the past but are still baffled by Trump's rise to the primaries cannot give us useful commentary because the world has changed. They are like military experts judging current events in terms of the previous war. The German tanks have Paris in sight, and the Hemingways are reporting that France is going to crush them if they don't get their trenches dug soon. Thanks for the feedback, and thanks for listening, Kyle."
Okay, a couple things. First of all, when we were talking with the Hemingways, I think we let off that conversation talking not only about the opinion polls, but about the fundraising numbers reported by the candidates themselves, by the way. I mean, unless you, if the polls can't be trusted, maybe the fundraising numbers can't be trusted either. If you can't trust one, then you probably can't trust the other. So we were talking about both the poll numbers and the fundraising numbers post party conventions, and we were comparing them with the past, with the, well, the only apples we can find to compare to these apples are what happened in 2008 or what happened in previous presidential elections at this point with the candidates that were there. That's just simply trying to compare with what happened. You can draw your own conclusions, but the comparisons, there's nothing wrong with making a comparison. To compare where Romney is to where Trump is right now is a valid thing to do. You may not draw a completely different conclusion than someone else. But I've got a thought on the polls, and that is, look, I understand the impulse to say the polls don't matter, especially when the polls are going against your candidate. I completely understand that. Every politician does that. When the polls are going their way, the polls are the gospel truth. And when the polls aren't going their way, then the polls don't matter, or they're skewed, or they're rigged, or they're not asking the right people, whatever it may be. Every politician of every stripe does this. It's boilerplate response to either good or bad poll numbers. But if, objectively speaking, not in the terms of what a politician is going to say into a microphone or into a TV camera, if the polls don't matter, then they don't matter for any candidate at any time. We can't say today the polls matter, tomorrow the polls won't matter, or when my candidate is falling behind, they don't matter, and when he's ahead, they do matter. Donald Trump had an awful lot to say about the poll numbers during the primaries and when his poll numbers were better than they are today. And if they don't matter now, they didn't matter then. If you're going to say polls don't matter, then you have to apply that evenly to every candidate. Here's one. People don't like Hillary Clinton. We could commission a poll right now, and I would get a number of probably close to 70% of Americans who maybe or maybe not voting for her, but they don't like her and they don't trust her. That's a poll. Now, interestingly, it was Hillary Clinton who kind of acknowledged the truthfulness of that poll when she said, "I get it, the people don't get me." Well, Madam Secretary, it's that people don't trust you and don't like you. They've seen everything they can see. But again, that's a poll result. And if you believe it, then you're kind of, I'm just asking you honestly, if you believe that poll about the general, what do they call it, disapproval? Yeah, just disapproval rating for a candidate like Hillary Clinton, you believe that one, well, then the polls do matter, don't they? Every poll has to be taken with a grain of salt. And if the polls are reputable, they tell you how they polled the people, who they polled, and what the margin of error is. The devil's in the details. A poll of 25 people out on the street matters less than a scientifically conducted poll of 1,000 people or a scientifically conducted poll of 10,000 people. So if we really believe the polls don't matter, then we should also believe that the votes don't matter, because all the voting is just another way of organizing a poll. I think they even used to call the voting place the polling place. So I'd be careful to say that the polls don't matter. The fundraising numbers, those are just the numbers that we can't make them up. They're just the ones that were reported by the various candidates too. The Khan family issue, it's not Mark and Molly Hemingway's job to dig into the life of the Khan family. They were dealing with the backlash of Trump's criticism of the Gold Star family. That's what they were dealing with, the story and the backlash there. It's not their job to say, oh, and by the way, here's some dirt on the Khan family that somehow makes it right that Trump would criticize them having lost their son at war. And if the past doesn't matter, you know, if 2008 doesn't matter, if there's nothing to be learned there, if everything every year changes so much that we can't compare anything to something that happened in the past, then we can't learn from history, can we? If 2008 doesn't matter, then 1942 doesn't matter. I would disagree with your analogy of military strategists, because I don't know that there is a military strategist worth his salt who would say, I don't pay attention to the military strategists that came before me. They were stupid.
They didn't know anything. I got a different war to fight. No, they study them. They learn from them. They try to apply them as much as they can to their current situation, and then they learn from the experience that they have themselves. But they don't throw out the past. Don't do that. If the past doesn't matter, then history itself doesn't matter. If last year doesn't matter, then 2,000 years ago doesn't matter either. Christians have a very robust view of history in terms of its meaning and in terms of its trajectory and in terms of its ultimate purpose guided by God. And I just don't think we should say that any of it doesn't matter.
Email from Jenny. I usually listen to the archives, so regarding Chris Roseborough's closed Bible preaching, the first preacher, the woman from Australia, opens with a quote from the Bible, which neither of you pointed out. Of course, she doesn't give the reference, Jeremiah 29, acknowledge that it is from the Bible, or refer back to it to tie into her or her friend's idea of listing wishes. But I did just want to point out that I did recognize a Bible passage in there, just saying.
Thank you very much. That's a very much needed correction. Now, what Chris was talking about was he called it closed Bible preaching. And what he was urging us to note there is that when these sermons or ideas are being put forth from the pulpit, the Bible is literally behind the preacher or on the pulpit, closed. Of course, there's a bigger illustration to be drawn from that, and that is even if a Bible passage is mentioned, even if it's referenced, even if the preacher stands up, opens the Bible, and highlights it in front of the entire congregation, and then proceeds to twist that scripture, the Bible might as well have been closed because it was just a pretense for what the preacher wanted to say anyway. So thank you for the correction, and I think we're going to have to listen more carefully when we listen to our sound bites, make sure that we don't miss things like that.
Pastor Wilkin, thank you for your interview on July 25th with Kirsten Day of Democrats for Life. I was calling because a couple observations, and maybe you can clarify a couple things for me. The issue that I noticed was that while Ms. Day was very clear on the fact that, you know, she's pro-life and that kind of thing, and the website for Democrats for Life is very overt in promoting life and legislation toward that, I was waiting throughout the interview for her to discuss the connection between religious liberty, most especially liberty or freedom of religious establishment, and the pro-life position. I didn't hear much of a connection that she made between those really important, really inseparable issues and her concern with the Democrat platform regarding religious liberty. If anything, the concern that many people in the pro-life movement have is the Democrat candidates across the country almost looking for a restriction of free exercise and establishment of a religious expression so that, you know, they're talking more of it being a freedom of worship rather than freedom of religious expression. And so I would like to see if you could clarify a little bit more, how does Kirsten Day speak to the connection between the first issue, a First Amendment issues, and the Democrats for Life, pro-life stance. Thanks. God bless. Bye.
I don't think I can speak for Kristen or for Democrats for Life on that issue, and I honestly don't know what their position is. I mean, the first connection I'd be looking for if I were to ask about that, and I probably should have asked about it at some point, the HHS mandate. And its implications for having religious institutions either fund through their insurance programs or in some other way support abortions or abortifacients. I should have asked about that. So thank you very much. That's something we need to put on the list next time we talk to Kristen. But I don't know what their position is or if they've even taken a position on the HHS mandate and religious liberty. But you're quite right. The two are inseparable from one another in today's political climate. The fact of the matter is that the Health and Human Services, as currently comprised, has targeted religious liberty. I don't know if they thought they were targeting religious liberty. I think in my darker hours that they probably realized that religious liberty is an obstacle to abortion on demand, taxpayer-funded top to bottom, all 9 months for everybody who wants one, regardless of the reason, which is their goal. There's no doubt about that. And maybe they realize that religious liberty is a major obstacle to that and that it needs to be, if not eliminated, severely curtailed. And I think if that were the case, you probably find a lot of Democrats, not Democrats for Life necessarily, but a lot of Democrats who'd say, no, wait a minute. Abortion may be important, but is it important enough to deprive people of their First Amendment rights in order to have it? So next time we have her on, I'll try and remember to ask her a question about the HHS mandate and religious liberty.
You inquired about Democrats for Life and the HHS contraception mandate. I'm reading directly from their website. Democrats for Life of America has filed friend of the court briefs in two federal court cases in support of the conscience clause of individuals and organizations who oppose parts of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services mandate that requires individuals to facilitate abortions through their employees' health insurance coverage.
That's great. So there's the answer to your question. And thank you very much for the question itself. When we come back from this break, it'll be time for a little more listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 10th. And we'll round off today's program talking with Terry Mattingly of the Universal Syndicate, his On Religion column, media coverage of religion at the Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line. What's next?
Les listens in Colorado, and he writes, I was disappointed to listen yesterday to Ken Sherb's series on Luther and the Reformation, and it ended at Luther's death. First, the Reformation 500th anniversary is technically not until October 2017. That means something has to continue in Reformation history at least until October 2017. Second, why end the series on Luther's death? There is so much about the Reformation that can follow after Luther's death. Ken Sherb's series was phenomenal. I listened to every single one. I have been a poor giver of issues, etc., and need to change that. Love the program. Thanks for listening. Les in Colorado.
I think if you listen to the very end of that interview with Ken on Luther's death, and we tried to make it clear several times in the course of that interview that this is not the end of the series. This is just the end of the Luther section of the series. Ken wanted to organize this in kind of introducing us to Luther. There's a lot more of this series to come. When are we going to restart this series again, Jeff?
After Labor Day.
After Labor Day. So we're giving Ken a little bit of a break. He works very hard putting together this series for us. So we're giving him a little bit of a break. And we're going to continue with the post-Luther Reformation. You're quite right. There's a lot of information. And our goal is to go all the way into 2017. Eventually, this is probably going to be a 60, 70, maybe even more part series with Dr. Ken Sherb. As I say, a massive master's course on the Reformation. And we've only scratched the surface. We've only done the Luther stuff. I think what we promoed when we got to the end of that series is we're going to go into some of Luther's lesser known preaching, I think on the Beatitudes, if I'm not mistaken, and deal for a while in the series with that. And then we'll deal with the rest of Reformation history, and it'll take as long as it takes. This is a big commitment, massive undertaking, and the largest series we have ever done on issues, et cetera. It's not the largest right now, but by the time we're done with it, it will be the largest series. And it does continue. We're just done with the Luther Life section of the Reformation series. There's a lot more to come. Thanks for listening to it, and thanks for your kind words about it, because it really is turning out great. I can't think of anybody better to have done this with than with Dr. Ken Sherb.
Yeah, I'm looking at Ken's outline. Of course, Ken always works months in advance, unlike
us
who work minutes in advance. He plans to pick you up after Labor Day on Luther's sermons on Matthew.
Okay, good. So I was close.
The Beatitudes are...
So it's coming, and it's not over with. We just need to take a little break and then also give Ken a chance to do his pre-preparation for the next big section. That's what we're trying to do, it in these big sections leading into the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. I don't know how far you guys have planned out. I'm not privy to all
Wait,
that.
You
stuff.
Say you guys?
You talking about, and Ken.
You're talking about how far Ken's planned out.
Yeah. Ken's probably planned it out.
I had to look at my email to find out what the next
one was.
Knowing
Ken, he's probably planned it out to the second, to end precisely at the moment in time when Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the church door on October 31st, 2017. And he will have it timed out, so we will end it right there.
He is the most organized guest on Issues Etc. Agreed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. More on the...
That's the best construction way of putting it.
Yes.
More, he's organized.
Yes. More on the Ken Sherb. Should we call it the Ken Sherb series, or should we call it the Martin Luther and the Reformation series? More on the Luther and the Reformation series. This comes from Marcus. He said, if this has been requested before, my apologies. What's the best way to access your show archive to specifically find a series? For example, the series you're doing with Ken Sherb, Martin Luther Reformation, is a great resource for anyone trying to catch up on the series, and would love to refer others in the next year to listen to the series during 2017. The only way I know how to access the series is through your search bar. It would be great to be able to find the series archived by themselves. Maybe I just don't know how to. How can we manage your archives in order to find and listen to a certain series, and specifically with a chronological series like Dr. Sherb's, how can I find these series in order? Thanks for the question, Marcus.
First of all, it's a good problem to have because it means that we're producing something here that people want to listen to. The simplest way is to use that search bar. I have tried to make sure that every single segment of that series is tagged with this phrase, Reformation series. I've been back over them. I do all the web stuff, so I have been back over them several times to make sure that every one of those 35 installments so far is tagged with the term Reformation series. So if you type Reformation series into the search bar, I'm relatively certain that you will be able to access all 35 of them. The other thing that we can do, which we probably should do before it gets any more massive than it already is start archiving all of these on a separate page so that you can go there. And it's simply just a matter of kind of doing the back end work to get all of those episodes there. We're going to have to do it sooner or later. So we probably should do it sooner rather than later. The best way right now is that search bar, Reformation Series. Enter that, and it should give you all 35. As of last week, it was leaving out about 10 in the middle, but I think I corrected that error.
You did. I just tried it myself, Reformation Series, in that Google search engine. Go to issuesetc.org, the archive, listen on demand page, and type in Reformation Series, and you will find the Ken Sherb, a.k.a. Martin Luther in the Reformation Series.
And that is, but I will caution you, that doesn't work for all the series that we have done over various subjects. I have not been as consistent in the past in the way that I tagged various series, like our Historic Liturgy series. If you entered Historic Liturgy or Liturgy, you're going to get a lot of the Historic Liturgy series with Pastor Will Wheaton. You're going to get a lot of other stuff, too, because a lot of our episodes are tagged with the term liturgy or historic liturgy, and I can't guarantee you get every single one of the Whedon series on the historic liturgy, which up until the Sherb series was our largest series that we did. Do we have any more to do on that with him?
Well, he's coming in. What do we say? It's not things we see in church, but we talked about, it's the late Pastor Lee Maxwell's book.
Yeah,
it's
basically an altar guild book, but it's the furniture, the paraments, the all of the things that are used in worship, and going through that with Pastor Whedon explaining them in detail.
And he is returning after a long hiatus to pick up on that series next Thursday, which it would be the 18th.
Right.
I'm sorry, the last Thursday of the month, the 25th, Pastor Will Wheaton will be in studio to pick up on that series.
But right now, I think he's on vacation running barefoot on a Mexico beach someplace.
No, he's got all his grandkids.
Oh, he does.
Here, all of them. He's 3 weeks with...
How does he run with all those grandkids?
What? Have you seen him? He has 0% body fat. Huh? I mean, the guy's
running
constantly
barefoot
running
down the country roads.
No, he doesn't run barefoot. Remember, he wears those things that those shoes that have a slot for every toe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's doing
with his
shirt off. TMI. Mark writes, while I write this, I am listening to this segment on listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Since you seem to have enough complaints, I wish to encourage you. Thanks, Mark. That's nice. Appreciate that. Your program reaches a wider audience than you might suspect. I am not Lutheran. I am Southern Baptist. I discovered your program in 2014 when I began to re-examine my beliefs in light of the scriptures. I appreciate the solid biblical insights that you and your guests often provide. Your love for the gospel, the scriptures, your listeners shine through each episode, including those segments on politics and current events that seem to annoy some people. May God continue to bless you while you speak his truth and love, which the world needs so desperately to hear. Thanks for the feedback, Mark.
Thank you very much. How much time do I have before we got to...
I'm going to read one more email.
All right, into it. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. And we rest assured, we know. And a lot of the criticism on the political stuff is just passing because, as Jeff pointed out, it is a presidential election year, after all.
It is?
Yes, it is.
Now you tell me. Keaton writes, I don't know if this is the right forum for feedback on show segments, but I wanted to thank the Issues Etc. team for great service in all areas, but specifically for including the Looking Forward to Sunday Morning segments for both the one-year and three-year lectionaries. It's been great to have those available. Thank you, writes Keaton.
That reminds me, I think I have to post something. An encore for David Peterson.
Pastor Peterson, yeah, even though we had him looking forward to feasts and festivals, we didn't have him on for, we didn't repost Trinity 12.
That goes on the list. Well, this is something that we tried to work the kinks out for years and years on the program, trying to do a series on the upcoming pericopes and propers for the Sunday morning so that people would have heard them and heard something about them before they get to church, before they get to Bible class. We tried several permutations of how to do this with pastors' roundtables and everything. And finally, we struck upon the sweet spot here with Dr. Carl Fikencher doing the 3-year lectionary and Pastor David Peterson doing the 1-year lectionary. And we're trying to fill in the gaps of the places last year we went through the 1-year lectionary where we didn't have Pastor Peterson available to us. You could find it all. Those are tagged very nicely, by the way. If you put in the search bar 1-year lectionary or 3-year lectionary, you will find the entirety of all of those series as well. And thanks for listening to them. Appreciate hearing from our listeners. When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about media coverage of religion at the Olympics. Some stories are getting it, some aren't, and there are a lot of them down there in Rio de Janeiro. Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org will be our guest right after this. Don't you assume they're going to buy just anything, because when we're out in the clubs listening to music, you're in a box, send some email. Congrats on your email. $5 million,
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The clcc.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A biblical woman doesn't live for herself. She lives according to the word of her Savior and at the mercy of her Heavenly Father.
Adrian Dorr Hines, speaking at the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
She holds Christ to his promise that he will forgive her on account of his cross, and she moves forward in faith, trusting that she will care little for herself and a lot for her Lord and for those that he has placed around her. She is both humble and hardy, an armchair theologian, and a discerning believer. She cares for her home and her husband, her children and friends, and she knows that this work is not always glamorous.
You can listen to Adrian's presentation, Making the Case for Biblical Womanhood, on an audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. Find out more and order by clicking the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.